want to ask a question. Do you ever wonder why God does what he does in the way that he does it?
Yes. My mind.
Amen. It's never the way you want it to be.
Amen.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
We would think that being God and as loving and kind and as awesome as he is, he would just sometimes do things the way we want it done. But the Bible tells us that his ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Amen.
Amen.
You see, God's always right.
Yes.
He's higher than us, and even though it looks bad, it's all right with him.
Amen.
But why, and that question still remains on the table, why does it seem that the road called life is never a smooth road? But it's always filled with bumps, potholes, and detours. Amen, Sister on the organ. Dead ends, wrong directions, and missed exits, traffic jams, and all this is his plan for your life.
That's it.
And you have to wonder, if he has planned my life like this, then these are some messed up plans. Now don't get pious on me, y'all fronting.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what you won't say.
Uh-huh.
Amen. But some of you right now are saying, if I was God,
well,
and you're not,
amen,
I would do things differently, especially for my own life.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And we have to admit that most of us have had lives that have been sprinkled with much less desirable situations, more unexpected mishaps, dark and lonely places, and we are the ones who love God, and even some that have been called according to his purpose. Amen. We are the ones who live and find ourselves in particularly complex lives and situations, and folks cast judgment on us. If you believe God so much,
all right, yes,
then why is your life so messed up?
Yes. All right.
Bless him.
And granted, someone is always worse than me.
Amen.
But really, I don't know them. Amen.
Amen.
My life is bad enough without comparing it with everybody else's. Unless you think that I'm not grateful for the blessings of God, I certainly am. For I know he woke me up this morning. That he started me on my way. Amen. That when I woke up, I was at least fully clothed and partially in my right mind. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. But I was not particularly blessed last week when I went to the dentist, who I had just met for the first time. And he told me to open wide while he commenced to pull out two of my friends. that have been with me for over 50 years from the back of my mouth.
Mercy.
Without even an apology or a moment of silence for number 16 and number 17. They didn't even give me a chance
say goodbye
to a final viewing before discarding them with the rest of the broken and decayed and misshapen, otherwise useless in scissors, cuspids, and molars. That wasn't blessing me. But we as Christians, we want to sometimes front and say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But back in your mind, you're saying, if this is his plan for my life, this is messed up. Psalms 37:23, those that are writing it down, says the steps of a good man
Amen.
Are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now the New Living Translation says the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And then the Amplified puts it like this, that the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord.
Yeah.
When he delights in his way and he busies himself with his every step.
Mm-hmm.
See, God likes it when we like what he's doing.
Yeah.
Amen. The word tells us that he's right there with us. Amen.
Amen.
So don't be discouraged when things seem to be out of order. For God directed our paths. But for those of you who didn't fit the description of being good or godly, then you should know that the steps you took were not ordered.
All right.
It was you who did what you did, and you have to pay the consequences. And don't ask God, where were you when I got locked up?
All right.
Why didn't you change the mind of the judge? Because my mama was praying. Touch the heart and change the mind of the judge. Where were you when I was in the hospital or in foreclosure or unemployed? You see, a lot of that is our fault. So don't judge God and don't blame God for the wrong steps that you took. But for the rest of us who know we are following God's plan, but yet we haven't had it so easy. For even some of us have been locked up for no reason. Hospitalized for no known cause. Losing a home. Losing a job. Losing loved ones. Accused but innocent of immoral, irrational, or just plain waking up and going outside. And so we ask that question, why? Is God punishing us, or does he just have some messed up plans for our lives? Well, let's look at the Bible for a few examples, so I won't stand up here and y'all just think I'm making this stuff up. Take Joseph in Genesis, the 37th chapter. Amen. Joseph was a young man, 17 years old. His father, Jacob, loved him and favored him because he was born while Jacob was old. And God gave him a dream.
Yes.
And that dream made his brothers angry and even more jealous than they've been.
Yes.
And some folks say, well, he shouldn't have told the dream.
Yes.
Well, how many of you, when God has spoken to you or done something in your life, you just couldn't wait to tell it? Oh, hallelujah. When you got that new car, you just proudly came to church and said, the Lord has blessed me with a new car. Amen. Y'all know I'm right.
Yeah.
Amen. You get that job, or for some folks, they get that husband or that wife, and oh, they just can't help but tell it.
That's right.
Don't you know you're making some folk mad? So you, like Joseph, couldn't keep it to yourself. Because of that, he was thrown into a pit.
Yeah, yes, they did.
And I don't have time to tell the whole story, but we find that later he was sold into slavery. He was taken to Pharaoh and to Potiphar's house.
Uh-huh.
There in Potiphar's house, he ran into a little promiscuity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Potiphar's wife was a little loose.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
He was then falsely imprisoned.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Became the object of a forgotten promise.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up in a pickle.
Look at it.
That's the pit, promiscuity, in prison, forgotten promise, and now he's in a pickle.
Mm-hmm.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Look at somebody say, that's messed up.
Yeah.
We'll get back to Joe in a moment.
Yes.
Then there's another example. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Job, and y'all know him, spelled J-O-B, just like a job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it seems sometimes like Jobs and Job go together. Amen.
Go ahead.
Job, the first chapter, first verse says, there once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless. A man of complete integrity. Feared God and stayed away from them clubs. It says evil. Y'all fill in the gaps. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams, that's 1,000, of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest man in the entire area. Here we have a godly man, a good man. And then things got messed up.
Amen.
Satan got in the mix and challenged God as to why he was serving him. But you see, Job didn't know any of that. All he knows is he was going along, doing things okay. Following God's plan for his life. Amen. He married a wonderful lady, had children, everything was going well, and all of a sudden, disaster strikes.
That's right.
Yep. I'm sure it spun his head when things started happening around him. He lost everything, lost his house, his kids, lost his cattle, and everything. But oh, Lord have mercy. Then Mrs. Job got to him. She was one of those non-encouraging women. Amen. Not like anyone here. Telling her man what he needed to do. Not simply praying for him in the background, but mad because all of a sudden all her charge cards were revoked. The widescreen TV was destroyed and insurance wasn't covering it. Let alone she was too old to have more kids. And why would she have more kids with this loser, with all his sores and all messed up? Amen. His self-righteous friends didn't help either. Backseat quarterbacks, y'all know what they're like. You should have done this, Job, or you must have done that. And well, why don't you do thus and so? And then talking about him when they left, I can just hear them. I know Job ain't telling us the whole story. Something must have been going on. And you see the way Sister Job was looking at him? Amen. That's messed up. Look at somebody and say, that's messed up. We're almost done, and I think you see the point.
Yeah.
Their lives aren't any different than ours. Yeah. Amen. And in a few days, we're going to celebrate the birth of the Savior.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus. Oh, there's no name besides that name. Oh, when you say Jesus, it just does something to you, doesn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. But he didn't start off so good either.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. For in Matthew, the first chapter, in the 18th verse, it says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born.
Amen.
His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. You see, Jesus' beginning is something like our lives. It seemed to be a messed up plan. Here we have Joseph never touching this beautiful young lady.
Yes.
And she has to tell him, Joe, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Now, what would you do? See, he hadn't read what we've read already.
Uh-huh.
See, the angel hadn't come to him first before he got the news. I'm sure that he was upset that he didn't know exactly what was going to take place. He wanted to go to divorce court in a quiet way. Amen. So that Mary wouldn't be accused of being an adulteress. But he couldn't have believed her. Where did his child come? How could you be pregnant? Well, the Holy Ghost impregnated me. Some of y'all wouldn't have stood for that. Amen. You would say, you did what? So, preacher, what's the point? This is where we need to understand where life is. See, God has a plan.
Amen.
Sometimes that plan seems to be messed up.
Yeah.
But we don't need to look at the plan. What we need to look at is the process.
Come on now.
You see, God does order our steps. He really does have something blessed and wonderful for our lives. But just like in a 5-star restaurant, oh, hallelujah, we order a meal, but we never see the process.
All right.
But when it arrives at our table, on the plate in front of us, all we say is, this is good. But church, if we could only see the process, we would be too sick to eat the meal.
All right.
Oh, hallelujah, the wringing of the chicken necks. Oh, the shooting of the pigs in the head. The hanging of the cows and gutting them from top to bottom. You see, God takes pleasure in the process. Oh, hallelujah. God is interested in the process. It's not that his plans are messed up. It just takes that kind of process to turn us from raw meat into a gourmet meal.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Going back to Joseph, the plan for him was to rule over Egypt and to save his family from an impending famine. But he needed to go through the process first. You see, Joseph had a little arrogance in him. He had a little pride for being that favorite child. And then his brothers needed to experience themselves at their worst so they could later serve their brother at their best.
All right.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The father Jacob, he needed to see what favoritism leads to.
All right.
And so it all worked out.
Yeah.
Joseph needed to see the hand of God at work, even through those messed up situations. You see, he prospered in prison.
Yes.
He was presented to Pharaoh.
All right.
And promoted to the highest position in the land.
That's right.
And in the end, Joseph went from the pit to the palace.
All right.
Now that's blessed.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at Job's process. It all worked out.
Yes.
God reached out until Job realized that he was there all the time.
Yes.
Even before time,
right.
God was there.
Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He asked Job that question, where were you when I pushed up the mountains, pushed down the valleys? Oh, hallelujah. Even when Job was hurting, when his wife deserted him, when his friends turned their back, he knew that God was there. He was just going through the process. Oh, hallelujah. You see, he said he had to wait until his change came. He learned while he was waiting about poverty. He learned while he was waiting about patience. He learned while he was waiting about perseverance and was rewarded accordingly. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he got it back now, even more than he had in the beginning. It's the process, not the plan. And then Jesus' birth is no less an example to us. Born to an unwed mother, sought out to be killed as a baby, brought up in a foreign country. Oh, you know the story. Jesus, oh, hallelujah. Even he had to have a few questions as he grew up and tempted by the devil.
All right.
Oh, I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but let us get to that garden. Oh, hallelujah. You see, the plan was for a savior. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The plan was that somebody would be sacrificed. But even Jesus had a question about this messed up plan. He said, Father, I'm willing to go, but can you just change it around a little bit? Does it have to be this bad? But oh, thank you, Jesus. You see, blood had to be shed. Oh, a life had to be given in order for me to be saved. Oh, hallelujah. I don't think that was messed up. I think that was blessed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So when you feel that your life is out of God's reach, when your circumstances overwhelm you and you're lacking an explanation, then we need to turn to the book. Romans, the 8th chapter.
Yes.
And that 28th verse.
My God.
And we know.
We know.
We know.
We know.
Oh, hallelujah. I know. Do you know that all things, oh, hallelujah, work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it. We are assured and know that a God being a partner in our labor,
all things
work together and are a fitting into a plan. Oh, hallelujah. For good to those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, he said all things.
All things.
That means everything.
Yeah. All right.
That means that lousy so-and-so you living with.
Yeah.
Amen. That means those bad kids. Oh, hallelujah. That means that job that you can't stand.
Yeah.
Or the job we wish we had.
All right.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. All things work together. They work. It's not messed up, but it's a process. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Say your word.
That's all.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And now I know some of us feel favored and then forgotten. Some of us are serving heaven and experiencing hell. Waiting and waiting for things to get better. And they just get worse and worse.
Hallelujah.
But hold on.
Hold on.
Because that's not the end of the story. It's just the process. See, God ordered these steps to get us to go higher and farther and deeper in Him. You see, we can't glorify Him with our lives the way we were. Now that's messed up.
Amen.
We thought we were ready for the blessing. But that just starts the process. You see, the beginning and the middle are not the end of the story. Thank you, Jesus. When we look at our life and we see a shipwreck, remember, we're just in a process. God is turning our shipwrecked lives into a dream boat. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
When we seem to be forgotten, remember, we're only in a process. God does remember, and He will not forget His promises.
That's right.
And when it seems that everything has gone wrong, and we've been down so long that getting up ain't crossed our minds. Remember, it's just a process.
All right.
All things work together for the good. For those of us who love God, for those of us who are called according to His purpose, it's only a process. Let us stand on our feet.
Thank you, what a word.
Yes,
God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let us look to the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Father God, we just say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for how your word changes our perspective of even our very lives. What we came in thinking was messed up, we can go home rejoicing that it's only a process. Oh, hallelujah! It's not the end of the story. We're just going through. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father God, for sending these your people to hear your word. Oh, hallelujah. And the prayer is that we will receive and keep that word. That we will hide it in our hearts. That we will plant it as a seed and allow it to grow in our lives. That we can get past all this stuff that we're going through. Oh, Father God, it still hurts. We still have questions, but it's good to know that others before us, Joseph, Job, and even Jesus, experience the same type of things that we go through. And oh, hallelujah, what a glorious end of the story. So, Father God, we are encouraged tonight. We're going to go through. Oh, hallelujah, we're going to wait on you until our change comes. And we know we won't be disappointed. And when it comes, we're going to be careful, God, to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to stop right now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you. We love you tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
For these and all blessings, we thank you in Jesus' name. We
pray.
Thank God. Amen.
Amen.